Sometimes you have to live long enough to really catch on to what's happening. Some catch on very young in life. Some simply rebel against what they see. Is it some big con going on somewhere? Generally, it's everything. Many turn to drugs to try to quieten their brain. Others to booze and or both. And then they end up as a real mess. Some come through that phase. A few come through that phase. And they manage to really get into what's really going on by getting away from the mainstream primarily and going into those old dusty books that they had in places they used to call libraries before they tossed them. And it's interesting, even in the 80s and 90s, I noticed in Canada and elsewhere in the world, libraries were dumping vast hordes of books into garbage dumps. And people who would live in countries could always go to these garbage dumps and see them coming in. Thousands and thousands of books with lots of histories, which of course are much different than the histories that have been rewritten for today, and a lot thicker books too compared to these little magazine type things they call books as well today. So the history has always been covered up as we go through generation by generation, and that's something that most people really miss out on. Another interesting part of understanding what the big picture is, it's when you're going through all of this, you get waylaid into different traps. I always liken waking up to coming out of a tunnel from underground and into a field. And at the end of the tunnel, you see the field, you see the forest across the field that you want to get into. And on the way to the forest, there's all these signs saying, this way, or I've got it, or here's the answer. And you go round in loops and loops and loops. For the young, they put out so much to do with the occult, which is meant to really take them into endless loops, because your imagination is very good when you're young. When you're older, you're a bit jaded, so it doesn't work so well. But when you're young, anything seems possible in a sense. And we also have some truths to the occult, meaning that some organizations were started up with fronts. Everything is a front for everything. And in the past, a lot of gentlemen's clubs, as they called it, especially in the 1700s, 1800s, also had these side lodges, as they called them, where they'd have their riotous parties, especially the French ones. Because, you see, those who joined them were generally, in those days, aristocrats themselves and the nobility. And they were jaded, bored stiff, and sex, drugs, and they didn't have rock and roll then, but everything else made up for it. So they dressed up in fancy dress and did the eyes wide shut type of idea. But however, that's come down to the present time, and it still fascinates people thinking they're members of various cults or groups. In a sense, it's true. Any belief system that starts off is always called a cult at the beginning. Everyone. Even all the mainstream ones all began as cults. But you can also take it further and go into the real cults, because the real cults are to do with beliefs even in science, such as Darwinism. When you look at Darwinism, you can't take it and be a scientist today or go and study science today in university. You can't simply take Darwinism and leave it at that. You've got to accept all of this religious theory that goes with it, which is a form of secular humanism. And it's a secular humanism where you have moral relativity. Nothing's really right or really wrong. It's Kabbalistic in a sense, which is true. It's Kabbalistic in that for whatever happens that seems unfortunate to one group of people over there will benefit these other people over here. And Darwin himself went through a lot of this to talk about the fact that most people on Earth are really part of nature, and all strata, that's classes, and that the real function of the classes, the lower classes, was to, today's terminology, I would say, we're the rocket stages to put the elite up into space, you might see, to make them evolve to the top. And he gave examples of how before a tree can grow in a certain part of the earth, it's the microbes have to come in, aerate that soil, different bacteria and so on move in, different plants move in, die, leaving minerals behind, and then that seed for the tree can come in and it will grow. That's how he likens society. He gave that as the example. And that's drummed in to people who go into science today, that there's nothing but science, and therefore whatever they decide in academia at the top, being all of the intelligentsia, as they like to call themselves, they have the right to do so over the lessers. And out of that also came various philosophies about global sciences and socialism, and the planned society and the scientifically planned society, with a scientific elite running the show. That's what Lord Bertrand Russell was always on about. He belonged to think tanks that were planning not just a good part of the 20th century in his lifetime, but the century we're in today. In fact, he was the first guy in Britain to be given a royal charter to break all the rules against using children in experiments, and even when Pavlov was doing it, in fact, and he was promoting intergenerational sex in these experimental schools with the intention to see if they could break the bonding that would occur, if they could separate the sexual act from mental bonding, emotional bonding, because they didn't want families in the future for their planned society. The state was to be all powerful, therefore the family had to be annihilated. And from the 1970s onwards, we saw this heavy trend, and again the drumbeat through the media as they pushed and pushed for the new traditional families. We've got, I think we're in the Mark IV now, Mark IV or Mark V traditional family, I've lost count, but they keep pushing the same drumbeat to show you the old one is dead. and they have nothing really in their way. When government wants to talk down to you, there's no family around you to stand up. You won't have any, by the way, all your friends on Twitter won't stand up for you either, you know. But when government comes for you, there's no one to stand up on your behalf and speak for you, or even give you moral support. That's what government always wanted. And that's why George Orwell gave you that impression in his book 1984. Government, Big Brother, really talked right to you. There was no one else there around you, just you.
Morning, CKLN listeners. It is Wednesday, May 19th, 2010. You are listening to CKLN Radio 88.1 FM, CKLN.fm online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. And that was a clip from Mr. Alan Watt from the 13th of May, 2010, talking about why, you know, the government and large organizations promote a selfish culture so they can talk directly to us and so that we won't stand up for each other. And that's why here on CKLN Rude Awakening, which I do host Mondays, Tuesdays, and today for the first time ever, Wednesdays from 6 to 7 a.m. as well as Thursdays. So Monday to Thursday from 6 to 7 a.m., which is also why I do stress, you know, a lot of these ideas about how we should Not only try and protect ourselves, you know, by avoiding vaccines and by avoiding aspartame and by saving our brains from the toxic effects of a corrosive culture and a corrosive media, but because practically, even if we are, you know, genetically perfect supermen and superwomen on Earth here, if we jog every day, if we run every day, if we eat organic, if we do all sorts of things, if we are isolated as, you know, healthy ubermensch and uberwomensch, then the state will talk down to us, and the state will screw us, and the state will tax us, and the state will abuse us, because the state no longer works for us. They work for large corporations and large banks and financiers that are representative of the New World Order. And the reason I chose to start the show with that clip from Mr. Alan Watt is to give us a bit of context and a bit of history. And occasionally I am taken to task for, a variety of things, which is fair. That's fine. You know, it's certainly we can all look to improve our efforts in this struggle. But one of the things I'm taken to task for is my attempts to improve our ability to deal with the situation of government and corporate corruption, which appears to be getting worse, apathy, and an uncertain future. So we got problems today, and we're apathetic, and things are actually looking like they could get worse on our watch if we don't step up to the plate. So so what's happened? Well, I bring up the New Age movement a fair bit on this show, and there's the New Age movement is essentially, as I said yesterday, recycled Hinduism, makes us only think of ourselves and don't think of anyone else, and you don't want to get bad karma, so, you know, don't be, you know, saying things. Like a secret. The secret says only think happy thoughts and so on. So let's just say that, you know, your neighbor's house is robbed. You know, can you think about that or not? should you start taking precautions for your own? Should you put up iron bars in your windows, perhaps, if the economic conditions we live in are making it, making certain neighborhoods more susceptible to crime, or should you just ignore that? You know, what if they have a child who's autistic or damaged as a result of vaccines? Should you listen to that, or should you just put your faith in God that, oh, well, you know what, everything, things work out the way they're supposed to? Well, maybe you were supposed to hear about that, about the risks of vaccines. You know, maybe you were supposed to get that piece of paper or DVD or email or website or, you know, whatever. You know, maybe you're supposed to get that. You know, I know periodically. I personally use the horoscope whenever I happen to read it, if I can, as a source of either validation or information. And it's a totally subjective kind of thing for me. But again, use whatever you can to get you to get done whatever it is you want to get done. It only seems to make sense. And so I don't read my horoscope much, but if I happen to be grabbing, you know, a Metro or an I or a Now or something, and every once in a while I'll flip to it, and it'll give me some advice, and you just start to realize that a lot of that stuff is the type of stuff you can use because it happens to be in the environment. It happens to vaguely fit with a theory of how you might think there is a God. There are some twists of fate. Everything's not only up to you, but everything is also not preordained. And so you do have some room to move within this culture and within this time and space while being ably assisted from fate, from the unseen hand, the deus ex machina, the God in the machine, which you know many of us perceive as around us. So there's that. But one of the things that the New World Order, in interfering with our, you know, our best instincts perhaps, has done is as a result of this New Age movement and everybody's going to yoga class and trying to work out and trying to look good and trying to be pretty and so on. And not everybody, but, you know, a lot of people are, and certainly, you know, that's one of our main focuses, is they've crippled, in many of us, our ability to easily think of things for other people to do, and to sort of plan things out tactically like a general would with an army. And so I was speaking with a buddy last night, fellow veteran, experienced truther, calls me up for advice or whatever. I have a very difficult time talking to him because I have a feeling he wants me to validate things he's saying on a regular basis, except I can't agree with any of it. And so that's a problem. But you know, neither here nor there. I did try and share with him a little bit of advice, but you know, he's into a lot of academic definitions. What do you think of X? What do you think of Y? And I'm like, you know, those are all traps. You know, so for example, right now I was listening to Max Kaiser again on the Alex Jones radio show, and a caller called in and was asking Max and Jones about government. And the two extremes are anarchy, you know, no government, and of course, you know, communism, totalitarianism, which is an all-pervasive government. And, you know, two people could argue about this at a Starbucks for like 4 or 5 hours. And just, oh, it would be so great if then people like this. And so, but that doesn't have any practical value towards affecting the current situation with respect to our government. And that's, you know, a big reason why it's promoted, these academic discussions. The other thing is that I was bringing up the fact that, you know, we don't really, there aren't many plans in Canada. America, things are going off. In Europe, things are going off. Around the world, Canada's real sleepy. I mean, I'm reasonably in touch with the truth movements across the country, or word would hopefully spread through the wire. But, you know, there aren't really many plans or goals of truthers across, you know, this country. And even though I thought of a bunch, I will still take, you know, the blame for some of that, because obviously, in a world where you're judged on how you said things and how you do things more than what you say or do, you always have to factor, you know, taste in. And so, but this bothers me because you know, I could come up with a number of things that we could do, or I could spend 6 months, you know, making an album about them, or I could spend a year, year and a half, 2 years making a movie about them. But what's the difference? Because it's none to me. You know, I mean, it's just more time for a bigger payoff. But at the end of the day, it's still on you to figure out how you can go from needing to validate your lifestyle all the time by saying, you know, this isn't you personally, this is everybody. Again, my buddy said, I'm not New Age. I'm like, dude, 130 years, we've all been baked into New Age stuff since the 1800s. Like, you can say you're not into the New Age movement as, you know, it's currently constituted, but the thought process of going from, hey, wouldn't it be cool if, you know, you could figure out ways for your community to take action on these issues because you're fairly knowledgeable on them, and then not coming back with, you know, you know, I'm doing my thing, it'll be fun to do this, and I get done what I can. There's another way to look at this. And as I told my buddy last night, again, it's all anonymous, I'm just dry snitching on the world here, and I'm sure this is reflective of other conversations where, you know, you're trying to talk about something. You're trying to talk about the city of Toronto, and you're trying to say, you know, are people getting a little colder, a little more busier, friendlier, not, you know, what's the vibe? And then people will say, oh, you know, I'm friendly, or I think people are nice. You know, don't put me in the category of not thinking people are nice. And it's like, wait, just stop. Let's talk about this subject, this topic. Let's talk about this. Separate from your ego or your place in it. You know, let's talk about Canada. Separate from, you know, how you feel about your place in Canada, your role in Canada, what's happening in Canada. Let's talk about the country, the situation. And so, you know, we were talking last night and started talking about how did generals do it in the military? You know, generals don't just go, well, you know, I'm doing the best I can in this war, and I got my khakis, you know, all pressed, and I'm just trying to fit in here, and I'm just trying to do my part. Now, generals in battles and in wars say, look, I have a general idea of the resources I have, you know, 10,000 troops, and these are the logistics of the situation which we're trying to, you know, deal with and accomplish, and so on. And so, if we as individuals can look more about, you know, look more at our communities like we're generals, and like we can map out battle plans, which people can plug into or execute, then we'll have more options. And there's a million variables to work with. And again, this is not, there's nothing personal. We don't have choices in a lot of these cases. You know, we just have ways we's raised, as I'm fond of saying. So this is neither here nor there, but the point is, the gist is that if we think of things that other people can do, then it takes a heck of a lot of pressure off us too, because your problems, your success, your failures are all magnified if they are your focus. And so you can maybe get higher, although you'll have people less sympathetic, you know, to that if you know, you're not, you know, being open to more issues besides your own success. But it could also take you down, because if you're not accomplishing within your paradigm of how you see yourself on Earth what you should be accomplishing, then of course that can be depressing. However, Buddy said he just moved to a small suburb, you know, outside of a decent-sized Canadian city just to maintain their anonymity. And I told him, you know what you could do? You can go to a library for the next couple of months, or you can get some community meetings going. Within 2 months, you can have 10 people. And then at that point, you 10 people can co-sign 10 topics, and you guys can shoot a little video, a little mini-DVD, a little half an hour, whatever thing. And then you guys can make copies, you can drop them off, and soon all 2,000, 10,000, whatever people in your neighborhood will know exactly what's going on, as co-signed by 10 people who live there. And based on that, they might even believe it. So these are some things we can do in Canada. I'll break down a few more after this, but honestly, as far as I've heard from Paul Joseph Watson on the Alex Jones Show, the Bilderberg Group and the Trilaterals and the big boys are actually in trouble. So, hey, Canada, let's get in the fight on this by figuring out what's going on. From the Alex Jones Show, writer Paul Joseph Watson, member of the InfoWars team.
President Nicolas Sarkozy threatened to pull France out of Euro, London Telegraph. What did Webster Griffin Tarpley say on this radio show on Tuesday? He said he's looking for Sarkozy to pull out. Right again, just pointing out that the guests we have here have stunning analysis abilities, just incredible. So that's going on. Trilateral Commission wants war with Iran. We're about to cover that in a moment. You heard me right. Trilateral Commission wants war with Iran. This dovetails with Reuters. Israel primed for war with Iran. Netanyahu. Any idea what's going to happen on that front? U.S. faces same problems as Greece, says Bank of England, that the U.S. may go down. Red alert. European power brokers present proposal for new economic and political order, world order, prisonplanet.com. CEO predicts market Armageddon, Dow down to 5,000, red alert. It is all coming up. But I wanted to bring Paul Joseph Watson up We're going to work on getting Jim Tucker on, but also the We Are Change member. Look how We Are Change just continues to get key news out. And the Love Police, a kind of spinoff of We Are Change, you know, going into press conferences and pointing out that the election in England was totally rigged, where all the candidates were basically selected by the globalists. That made national news. We Are Change in Dublin, standing up to David Rockefeller, pointing out he won't get his world government a week ago before they plunged Europe by design. That's made international news. So just devastating the enemy on every front by injecting the truth that the king has no clothes, that the emperor is butt naked. But we have a PrisonPlanet.com article about this top story. Trilateral Commission wants war with Iran. Trilateral Commission member unwittingly tells We Are Change activists of plans for world government. This is so, so important and up on PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com right now. Let's go to the head editor over at PrisonPlanet.com, Paul Joseph Watson, joining us from England. Paul, break this down for us.
Yeah, this is a report by Jim Tucker out of the American Free Press about the recent Trilateral Commission meeting which took place last week in Dublin. And as we know, the Trilateral Commission is the sister group to Bilderberg. It's the entree to Bilderberg, routinely happens about a month or 3 weeks before Bilderberg meets. And they kind of set the agenda for what Bilderberg are going to discuss. And because it's a less influential organization, although it still has many of the same members, the security around the Trilateral Commission meetings is not as intense as it is at Bilderberg, which is why, as we saw earlier this week, the Sovereign Independent Group in Ireland were able to confront David Rockefeller, who's the chairman of the Trilateral Commission, both outside the building and inside the building where they were having dinner after one of their meetings. So now we have this story which Tucker writes about today, where a chief advisor to the Russian government, Mikhail Slobodovsky, was not confronted but just got into a conversation with a We Are Change Ireland member named Alan Keenan. And this Russian, Slobodovsky, mistakenly thought he was talking to a fellow Trilateral Commission member because he later mentioned the fact that he was under Chatham House rules, which means they can't discuss anything outside their own inside circle. But he fooled him. How he did it, I don't know. Obviously, you probably get him on the show, and he'll be able to go into it in more detail.
Yeah, we're trying to contact different We Are Change groups over there this morning via your recommendation, Paul. Continue.
But he got into a conversation with this Trilateral member who basically told him, and this is what Tucker quotes, quote, "We are deciding the future of the world. We need a world government." And referring to Iran, he said, quote, "We need to get rid of them." And then, quote, suddenly Slobodovsky noticed that Keenan's name tag was different from the TC label, Trilateral Commission label, and said, "I can't talk. We operate under Chatham House rules." So he suddenly realized that he wasn't a fellow member, and he shut up pronto. But just that revelation, A, that we're deciding the future of the world, we need a world government, and B, again, they're talking about a war with Iran, is an alarming revelation, because as Tucker explains in the rest of the article and as we've seen unfolding over the past few weeks, their agenda to exploit the financial crisis to enact global government by posing as the saviors is failing. The EU is collapsing. We now have Paul Volcker, the former Fed chairman, as well as Romano Prodi, and as you said earlier, Sarkozy threatening to quit the euro. Top financial experts, Jim Rogers, numerous others, are saying that basically the euro is in big trouble. Today it's hit a low against the dollar that hasn't been seen since the collapse of Lehman Brothers. Many people saying it's going to parity with the dollar, which hasn't happened for roughly 8 years. And it's in big trouble, and that matters because the euro was sold on the basis that an entire continent using one currency would provide stability. But as we've seen with the situation in Greece, the opposite has proven to be the case, because when one country gets sick, they all get sick. It's contagious. Now we're talking about Portugal, Spain and Italy going the same way as Greece. They're going to have massive debt burdens which they can't deal with. So the whole European project is in trouble, because current events have shown that it just doesn't work. So the ultimate agenda is to introduce a global bank, a bank of the world, allied to a global currency, is in big trouble. And that's what Tucker said. Other Trilateral Commission members told his sources that were in there that, quote, it gets worse every year, not better. Why do we even bother to meet anymore? We can't simply give up and quit, another responded. Bilderberg expects us to have a plan outlined. So Trilateral Commission members, Bilderberg members, are really crestfallen. They're downbeat because their model for economic global governance is falling flat on its face.
And that's right, we're back, CKLN listeners. Again, that was Paul Joseph Watson, the webmaster of PrisonPlanet.com and arguably the most prolific writer for the InfoWars team, for Alex Jones' InfoWars team. Paul Joseph Watson and his brother Steve Watson are two charming, attractive young men out of London, England. And so they have a pretty good idea on what's happening with respect to the base, the source of a lot of this this tyranny, this New World Order tyranny. Which is England, near as we can tell. Essentially, in the 1500s, John Dee, philosopher, presented the Queen, the court at the time, with an idea for free trade universally, where countries would be given most favored nation trading status, and eventually China would be the supplier for the whole world, and England would run it all through their financial tentacles, and working with other groups like Switzerland and the Bank of International Settlements, and of course America, the muscle in a lot of the endeavors of the Anglo-American establishment worldwide, with 700 military bases in over 150 countries, a figure that was quoted a lot by Ron Paul during the presidential campaign when he was up against Republican contenders in the primaries and overall against the Democrats, and eventually, which would spit out Barack Obama as the savior. But it isn't mentioned much since, 700 military bases in 150 countries. And yet that's always been the muscle behind the trade. So you have these economic policies, they're disastrous, people, are totally screwed and horrified, and yet there's a giant military base there and American soldiers that come to town once in a while. Japan's like this. Japan's been living with American military bases since World War II. So not only did they have two cities nuked, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, as we know, and, hundreds of thousands or even millions murdered at the end of World War II, after it was pretty much over, and several years after any attacks on American soil by the Japanese, including Pearl Harbor, which many believe was, if not an inside job, was at least allowed to happen. Because it would help the British basically, withheld some information from the Americans, allowed the attack to go through. The Americans were sort of complicit in that, and then the public was outraged. Just like we were outraged after 9/11, wanted to go to war. The American public was outraged after Pearl Harbor and after not wanting to get involved in the World War II that was going on in this European theater of war. They were of course stampeded into it. And So flashback to Japan. Japan has had this relationship, this love-hate relationship with the U.S. for years now, and they would take on tons and tons of U.S. dollars, and in exchange provide the U.S. with tons and tons of products, of stuff, and Japanese debt levels got crazy out of whack because, again, they were rewarded for buying into the system, but they were also rewarded for selling aspects of the system that still haunt us today. Ridiculous, you know, work weeks and you know, your company takes care of all your social functions and so on. So the New World Order wants to run different experiments in different countries and see how people react, and from that they can gauge the global model. I mean, even archetypically for the 20th century, they ran totalitarian communism in the East, and they ran corrupt free market narco-capitalism in the West. And at this point, now they're merging them into what author Alvin Toffler called the Third Way in books given out by former Speaker of the House for the Republicans, Newt Gingrich, in the 90s. And he basically just let all his GOP buddies know, folks, this is what's coming. We need to philosophically train your brains to get you to understand why you keep voting for policies that make government better, bigger. Why do you vote for things that are fundamentally unconservative and un-Republican? And that's because we are heading towards this third way. But I'll get to more of that in a second. I'm gonna give you some more Max Kaiser. Been on the Alex Jones Show quite a lot here, but he's going to talk about the global revolt against the banksters. There are pockets of resistance worldwide, and here, as someone who's broadcasting from Toronto, living in Toronto, and who's a Canadian, I want to make sure we get hip to that. We don't want to be late for the revolution, but if there is a bandwagon, we should jump on it.
Alex Jones. We're live, 8 minutes into the third hour. Max Kaiser of MaxKaiser.com. That television programs on BBC, Al Jazeera, RT, being picked up for its second highly rated season. He is with us. He's normally here once a month. This is his scheduled monthly visit, but I had him on last week because of the quickening and his predictions coming true. After he was on, last Monday, breaking down the fact that there was clear evidence that this was financial terrorism with a 1,000-point plunge, and that the financial wolves or hyenas, the wolf packs, were bringing down Europe, the very same central banks controlled by the big brokerage firms and investment banks like J.P. Morgan, Chase, Goldman Sachs. Trichet's now saying, I need more power, and we need more U.S. and German money. And it's all spelled out in the headlines. Their answer to the crisis they created is more power to them enshrined in a world government. So to go over those headlines and to take your calls at 1-800-259-9031, is Max Kaiser, and your calls are coming up for those that are holding. Max, good to have you back so soon.
Yeah, man, great to be back with you, Alex.
All right, my friend, you've got the floor for the balance of this segment. Lay out where we are, what's happening, what's going on in Europe, what's going on with Brown stepping down, Merkel in trouble, saying the banks are criminal, what's happening in the markets, a trillion's not enough, they need more. What is happening right now?
All righty, well, let's talk first about Greece. Now, George Papandreou, the leader in Greece, he made a statement yesterday over the weekend that he's now going to investigate what role the Wall Street banks played in destabilizing his country, his economy. And this is through some back-channel communication between myself and folks in Greece, and I've been trying to steer them in the right direction, telling them this isn't a market problem, it's not a market failure, but it's fraud that's been perpetrated primarily by Wall Street banks. And my message got through, and he said yesterday that he hears words like a need for transparency and there's fraud, and now he's going to take a stand against the bankers. Now, historically, when anyone in politics has taken a stand against the bankers, they immediately put themselves into, you know, quite a bit of danger, because the track record, if you go, you know, even if you read John Perkins' book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, whenever somebody, a leader of a country, steps up against the bankers, they put themselves into grave danger. Now, this would be the first time, really, that a major Western economy is taking on the Wall Street banks, but the people in Greece are out in the streets, and the leadership is responding. So he's making a statement. So we're going to see, because there's ample proof that the Wall Street banks purposefully crashed the Greek economy, for short-term capital gains. So that's the first thing that's happening. What's happening in Iceland? You know, we made a film in Iceland about the collapse of the krona, the collapse of the Icelandic economy, and I've gotten pretty friendly with a lot of the legislators up in Iceland. I'm proposing to them that they introduce a new economic citizenship so that anyone in the world who wants to escape, for example, a U.S. citizen that wants to escape the tyranny of the U.S.,
can buy a passport for Iceland. And to make it competitive, so it only costs $20,000. Right now, there's only two territories or countries that offer economic citizenship: Nevis St. Kitts and Dominica. They're both in the Bahamas. They cost $200,000 and $75,000 respectively. I'm saying that Iceland, to be competitive, they can offer economic citizenship for $20,000, and they could get, if they get 200,000 or so, or half a million citizens from the U.S. to renounce U.S. citizenship and move to Iceland, they could raise $10 billion immediately to help recapitalize their country. And they are talking about rewriting their constitution in ways that are going to favor free speech and freedom of the press.
All right, let me stop you.
Anyone who is interested in freedom of the press would immediately want to emigrate to Iceland. So
Max,
we have these pockets of resistance and pockets of strength from the work that you're doing directly and the work I've been doing. And now these people are starting to respond because the global insurrection against the banking occupation is on.
Okay, the global insurrection is on. I want to interject this and get your take on it, and I want to back you up here and have you continue. This is French news agency. Bankers jailed, sued as Iceland seeks culprits for crisis. Then a week ago, we saw the Merkel headline where she called, a criminal banks causing this, though she's bought and paid for by them. So isn't that the danger with the Greek leader and others, is that they see the headlights of the train coming, the global insurrection against the banking cartel? They know they can't survive unless they put it into a process, and then maybe Goldman Sachs or J.P. Morgan will flush down the toilet some mid-level trader, on a sub-issue like Timberwolf with Goldman Sachs. I mean, isn't there a danger of that? Because I've been all over Greek radio and newspapers as well saying arrest the bankers, arrest Goldman Sachs. And so you've been putting the pressure on. Many others have been putting the pressure on. So that's a great idea. Secondarily, how you brought up expatriates. We have the New York Times saying record numbers of wealthy people who aren't globalists leaving because they say this is the last year to get your money out, just fleeing in mass. I'd rather flee to somewhere like Iceland, but I don't even have enough money, I don't think. Like you said, if it was $200,000, I think I'm going to stay here and go down with the ship. But for people that do want to escape and be about to be around like-minded people, but what about the arrests that they're reporting in Iceland?
That's right. One of the bankers in London, who they say, and rightfully so, was responsible for pilfering $2 billion from the economy, is now being prosecuted. And, it's funny because London is where a lot of these guys go to get, because the hedge fund industry and the banking industry laws are very lenient there, and you end up with a lot of the international banking crooks end up in London, which is one of the reasons why the real estate market in London, on the high end, the very expensive residencies, hasn't crashed so much, because they're supported by all these billionaires from these territories that they've absconded with all the wealth. So Iceland is actively going after this guy, and it's funny because in the indictment, they use a very interesting word, Alex. They use the word counterfeiting. Now, this is fascinating because counterfeiting in the context of financial crime and financial terrorism, it points to what people know as naked short selling. Naked short selling is really one of the most common incendiary financial devices used to blow up an economy and to blow up a country, to blow up a company. We saw it with Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns, naked short selling. You're selling something, you're selling a security that doesn't exist, which is the same as counterfeiting. So now if they bring this whole naked short selling scam to the surface and they call it what it is, counterfeiting, that would point the finger at a lot of the criminality that's gone on in the last 5 to 10 years, and really bring in all the banks, because they're all guilty of this naked short selling to a huge degree. Now, getting back to your question about, well, the leaders, once they take on Wall Street, are they going to be pressured to back down? And what we saw last Thursday on May 6th, was the first unequivocal domestic financial terrorist attack in America. There was a bill in Washington to break up the big banks. They dropped the market by 1,000 points. The lawmakers pulled away. They decided not to pass that law to break up the big banks.
They also dropped the real law at the Fed and put a fake one in, according to Ron Paul.
Yeah, so they've got this weapon, which is they can crash a market. And I'm looking at today's news, and you see now that the financial terrorists are not shy about threatening to blow up people's economies and markets. For example, this is in today's news. Morgan Stanley said that if Europe doesn't engage in full-blown quantitative easing, which means that they would buy back their own bonds, which basically would mean to destroy the euro, then Morgan Stanley threatens Europe with a 1987 crash. Look this up. Morgan Stanley, full-blown quantitative easing may be needed to save Europe, or else we'll see a 1987-style crash. So they're threatening Europe with a 1987 crash. That's Morgan Stanley, a Wall Street bank, is threatening the entire eurozone. Here's another headline about KPMG and PricewaterhouseCoopers are now considering whether or not they should get back into the business of the rating agencies. You know, the Moody's, S&P, and Fitch, those rating agencies that gave their blessing to all the structured products and collateralized debt obligations that turned out to be phony. Well, now all these consulting firms who are also equally culpable in this nightmare collapse of the economy say, well, you know, those guys aren't good enough at it. We're going to get into the business. So this is like really just exactly the same thing. The fact that they can, with a straight face, say that they're going to get into the rating agency business when they themselves are some of the most crooked organizations in the U.S. economy, KPMG and Pricewaterhouse, is quite laughable. Here you have General Motors today saying that they want to get back into the financing business because of the shortage of subprime lending is holding back sales. Now, General Motors getting into the financing business is exactly how the economy crashed to begin with, because they got out of selling cars and they got into the loan sharking business. Then the economy crashed. Then the government gave them billions. And as a thank you to the taxpayer for getting them out of the hole, they're saying, now we want to get back into the loan sharking business. That only took 12 months.
Now, we're not going to build cars. We're going to move our factories to Asia, to Brazil, and to China, and to Eastern Europe. And then all we're going to do with your bailout money here is loan it back to you, the American people.
At usurious rates, as a loan shark, and we're trying to get you deeper into debt as we possibly can. And so they're trying to restart the entire cycle of, again, until they blow up, and then they'll require more of a bailout. And, of course, this just perpetuates this move down into what we call the casino gulag state, where the value of the purchasing power, the wages and the savings and the purchasing power of everybody in the U.S. keeps continuously degrades and drops and disintegrates. And you have this just an enormous cesspool where once a fine country used to reside.
Well said.
And we're back, CKLN listeners. Again, that was Max Kaiser from MaxKaiser.com talking about the global revolution and the potential for a cesspool if we don't participate, because financial terrorists is what he calls the powers that be evil. And for years, people have been talking about how do we go at the banks. The Canadian Action Party, founded by former Deputy Prime Minister Paul Hellyer, was based in a large part on banking reform. And so it helps to bring up the Bank of Canada again. Here in Canada, we have a publicly owned bank, the Bank of Canada. Any level of government, municipal, provincial, or federal, can borrow money interest-free from our very own publicly owned bank. And it's guaranteed by the resources of the country and the goodwill of the Canadian people to pay back any money borrowed. And they can issue currency to facilitate trade in this country and with other nations. What's ended up happening is we used to borrow, 90, 95, 100% of our money from the Bank of Canada. We built a huge railroad system here, and we built the infrastructure of this company with our publicly funded bank. But since then, thanks to the influence of the globalists, the New World Order, the offshore bankers, European nobility controlling banking establishments worldwide, Canada's gone, especially in the 70s under Pierre Trudeau, from having no national debt owed to anybody to having a national debt of somewhere around $500 billion, which we dutifully pay off, parts of, at least parts of the interest, accrued on it every year. You'll hear Prime Minister Harper, proudly pledge $50 billion towards our national debt. But they will never mention who we actually owe the money to, or, how we can pay it off quicker, or pay it off once and for all, or maybe slow down on paying it off right now and restructure it so that we could have more money here and more resources here for our own needs during these difficult economic times. That's not really brought up. What is brought up is that we owe this money, and the national debt is the most important thing, and it's a matter of national pride to pay it off. And it's all based on a scam because we shouldn't have had to borrow money from any other banks in any other country, period. And so here we are at this stage on May 19th, 2010, and we have to try and figure out what's happening with the quote-unquote financial terrorists, as Max Keiser calls them, who are attacking the economies of the world worldwide. As you mentioned on the show, obviously there are countries out there resisting, rebelling. We're getting to the point where we have to, where our leaders have to at least act like they're against the banks. Harper has to act like they're against the banks. Obama has to. Merkel, Sarkozy, the banking conversation and their role in this crisis and their corruption as exposed by good journalists during this crisis is something that we have to, we have to pay attention to, because this is kind of where it goes. If we trust the financial system and its integrity, and we believe that it does have integrity, then it's going to be our downfall, because of course the system is structurally designed to implode. And implode different countries at different times and different parts of the economy at different times. And at the same time as the fiat money system, which is composed of, hundreds of national currencies, is being, destroyed to be replaced by a global banking system, we also have our governments at home using the police state they've set up to guarantee they can collect more tax revenue. Again, to control us, to enrich themselves, and to pay off the national debt. I'm here at thestar.com, the Toronto Star newspaper, and it says, don't pay your speeding tickets, watch your property tax bill. Municipalities have power to collect unpaid fines by tagging them to property tax bills. And this is by Tanya Talaga from the Queen's Park Bureau. Ontario drivers who refuse to pay their share of more than $1 billion owed in outstanding speeding tickets had better watch their property tax bills. The government last year gave municipalities the power to tack unpaid speeding tickets onto property tax bills, says Attorney General Chris Bentley, although he isn't sure if local governments are pursuing this collection method yet. Leadfoot drivers, red light runners, and other traffic violators owe taxpayers $1.148 million in unpaid traffic fines, according to the Ontario Association of Police Service Boards, which represents the employers of police services. The Ontario government, facing a $19.7 billion deficit, is now trying to figure out ways to collect from deadbeats who don't pay. Enhanced collection powers were given to the municipalities last fall, Bentley told reporters on Tuesday. Now, keep in mind here, they are selling us the fact that our governments are broke. The municipal governments, the city's broke, and the province is broke, and the federal government's broke, and so on. But imagine if these folks were, your personal mutual fund managers. And they were to guarantee you, pension style, money at the end after you paid them in a whole bunch of money. So you said to them, look, I'll give you, 5-10% of my income for the next 10 years. And at the end of that, let's see what you did with it. And let's see what you made me. And you're going to guarantee that I have some money after paying a percentage of my money to you. And what's happened is that we've been paying 30, 40, 50, 60, now 70%. Probably 80% in the next 5 years of our money in taxes to our various different governments, municipal, provincial, and federal, in both in income tax and sales tax and harmonized sales tax and alcohol, liquor tax and tobacco tax and gasoline tax and property tax and energy tax and so on and so forth. So we've been paying all these taxes into our governments, and now they're coming back and they're saying that they're broke. So if we take this straight, then obviously we won't challenge it, and we'll accept things like, the measures to come and collect basically back taxes on all of us, old speeding tickets, parking tickets, and so on. And, of course, the increasing number of fines that are being levied today as the police are increasingly being used for revenue generation. And as the whole bureaucracy is increasingly being used for revenue generation, but not by facilitating the creation of a better economy, not by you know, lowering taxes, you know, freeing up loans and getting some currency circulating through our economy to stimulate it, which would inevitably, as it always has, generate more tax revenue. No, what our, you know, parasitic governments are doing, because they are working for the New World Order by and large, at least with their policies, whether they know it or not, is they're coming after us for the revenue in a collapsing economy. So that's the type of dangerous situation we're in right now, where this is not the first, this is not the last. Again, the Star had an e-trash. It said, e-trash bills pile up a couple weeks ago, the cover of the Star. And they want us to make you pay $25 for throwing out a computer or whatever, $50 throwing out a TV. They want to make you with the watermelon green movement, the green on the outside, communist red on the inside, if you want to take a look at their true colors. They want us to do the same, to say, hey, you need to get an energy-saving, you know, a water-saving, low-flow toilet. And we'll give you a $60 rebate, but you got to spend $500 in the toilet, and you have to. So these are the plans of the powers that be evil, in a nutshell. And so we need to challenge those. This gets back to the beginning of the show where Mr. Alan Watt, from the 13th of May talked about, what the conditions the governments worldwide have tried to create by making us all feel isolated, making us all egocentric by separating sex from love and from bonding so that we're much more sexually predatory, as opposed to uniquely valuing the person we're with. Read a great editorial in the I magazine yesterday by a woman who writes for, she's got a column which is called My Problems, My Fault. I forget her name. But it says, man up, bitch. That's the name of the column, and that's a quote, so don't knock me for swearing. Because it says, man up, bitch, and it talks about how the modern man is so confused by the state of the world today that we're making women nervous with our lack of manliness. And as things deteriorate, it's going to be important for people to step up who are willing to take at least some criticism, you know. At most, I mean, you know, Malcolm X, many others have said the price of freedom is death if you have to pay it, if you really value your freedom. Not a fan of that personally, but I'm looking for a discount. I'm looking for a rebate, and so based on that, suggesting some ideas, like understanding that our conversations and our analysis of the world can't just be egocentric, can't just be focused on ourselves. And if we switch our analysis to one that reflects what people around us can do, it's not insulting, and it's not, you know, telling people what to do and that sort of thing. It's not trying to get in anybody's business. It's actually reflecting, hopefully anyway, a genuine faith in people and in what they can do. And so, you know, if I, you know what, based on that, you know, I'm gonna flip to that. There's a clip here I'd like to play from again, Mr. Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com. The New World Order is afraid of individuals with ideas, and this is why here on this show, juxtaposing the ways that we've been taught to think and the situation we're in and what we've been taught to think about it, I'd like to share a bit of Mr. Watt's analysis on the only thing the New World Order is afraid of. They're not afraid of us getting together at a protest, because if we're afraid to speak the rest of the time, then they can just have those periodic rock concerts. They're not afraid of our conscious artists exposing them, because as you heard Talib Kweli say in an interview yesterday, again, Talib Kweli is one of the most conscious rappers out there, and he's certified as the conscious guys. Talib Kweli, High Tech, Common, Death Res. There's a handful of guys that represent conscious hip-hop. But Talib Kweli literally said, you know what, even if the Illuminati's real, don't worry about them. The only way they have control over you is if you worry about them. And again, that's recycled New Age Hinduism. You know, don't worry about them. You know, do for yourself and you know, think good thoughts and you'll get good karma. It's all nonsense in a system that's being destroyed by the New World Order. And that is our system. In a system where there are health risks from fluoride, aspartame, vaccines. I just saw the chemtrails in the sky on Monday afternoon, too. I took some video of this again. I haven't seen chemtrails that aggressive with the large X patterns in the sky since about April 18th or so, when I shot videos from around 1 in the afternoon till around 8 p.m. and posted up 25 videos on YouTube. And again, I was talking to another buddy about this, about the chemtrail videos. And he was telling me, oh, you know, not that many people watch them. And you know, it takes so much time. And I told him, BS, BS, BS. And I'm sorry to say that, but if you bring me a problem that stands in the way of us fighting for our freedom, then I'm going to bring you a solution. And I'd hope that would be a desired, you know, conversation. But at this point, we're looking for evidence. And we're looking to share that evidence with people. And I don't think we're looking to be judged as much on issues of taste. Obviously, make it cool. Make it as cool as you can. Do whatever. But if you don't have a lot of time and you just want to, you know, break down some stuff for people, just quickly take pictures and video of anything weird you see going on in the city. Any weird new trucks, any weird new security vehicles, any weird new, I've seen all these things, any super low-flying aircraft. I'm now seeing helicopters literally 150 feet above the city flying slow for no damn reason, in my opinion, acclimatizing us for martial law. And, you know, we can have an FIT, like this WTF, what the F? How about FIT? F is that. F is that. Just put it up and say F is that, like with chemtrails. Don't even say you know. Just say you're endorsing figuring out what those are, because they certainly look ominous, and the anecdotal evidence suggests they might be. But there's a million ideas out there that we can think of to not only catch up to our own schedule, but to facilitate others' activism. So Alan Watt from ThinkingTheMatrix.com, again from May 13, 2010, is going to break down what the New World Order is afraid of, including ideas on how to beat them that we can all use.
Most folk don't go through life thinking any of this at all. I'm sure you've all experienced it as you try to impart some knowledge and wisdom to those around you, and they look upon you as though you're some kind of weirdo, and it gives you that fidgety look as their eyes look left and right and left and right and not at you, and you know they're dying to get away, or they stand there with the lobster eyes because the data has been put against their hard drive in their brain, and what you're telling them doesn't compute. There's no data to verify what you're saying, so they're a dead loss as to how to answer. People are very much like computers. So we're at the age now, we're in the age where individuality truly is being drowned. They've decided it's an unsafe thing to have in a world society. And who decided that? Well, the United Nations decided that. They said in one of their own mandates that the greatest enemy to peace in the world, you can understand, they're talking about the peace of those who already rule it, you understand? The greatest enemy of peace was the individual. And they mean it. Mao Zedong said the same thing. He said he wasn't afraid of armies. And he was the guy who also said that power came from the barrel of a gun. But his big statement was even more powerful. He said, I'm more afraid of someone with an idea. That's what he was afraid of. Ideas catch on down through the history. You see it in all your religions. An idea caught on from one fella to the next. And people for thousands of years that lived their lives according to all the stuff they built on top of the ideas.
And we're back, CKLN listeners. Again, that was Alan Watt from Cutting Through the Matrix Radio. You can go to cuttingthroughthematrix.com to see more of his work. And that's the idea, is that they're afraid of ideas. So, you know, I can spit a whole bunch of crazy things out on the radio or in music or in a blog or in an e-blast or whatever. But if you're not used to you know, thinking of ways that you can work with other people to affect change in your culture, then a lot of those might bounce off you. They might bounce off other people. And so it's important to sort of get our brains wrapped around the idea of thinking of what we can do not just what you can do, not just, you know, maybe you can get some storable food and some guns and you can go hide out in a cabin somewhere and wait for this all to blow over. First of all, that existence will suck. Second of all, in a world where the New World Order, you know, has satellites and all sorts of other craziness keeping an eye on everybody, it's not practical to sort of make that your focus. Plus, you know, what we do now may habitualize what we do later. And if we start thinking of things that other people can do, even if they're not, you know, hip to it or grateful to it, or if they're insulted by it right now, as things deteriorate, as is the plan, unless we stop them, as things deteriorate in our culture, they may be more appreciative of having those options. And the proof that you develop right now, I mean, at TorontoTruthSeekers.com, one of the groups I recommend you visit, you join, you support, we've basically beta tested a bunch of information delivery systems in our culture. And we go to Dundas Square, and when people are like trying to take out their anger or aggression or frustration, those of us who are a bit senior there on Saturdays will say, look, calm down, chill out. You can't reach people by yelling at them, by arguing with them, by cussing them out for being stupid. You know, you have to approach them, you know, a bit more compassionately and only really speak to them if they want to speak to you, because it's their time, their life, their business. And if someone got in your face like that, you probably, you know, you'd probably treat them, you know, pretty poorly too. So you know, that's part and parcel of the experience, is figuring out what works in our culture now while it's safe to, and then having those things on tap for other people to check out. But here at the end of the show, I'm making my way soon for Mr. Ron Gaskin. Going to spend 4 hours of super jazz for you, because that's what he does. First Wednesday, first time introducing him, so it's a pleasure giving you his services here at CKLN Radio 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. Thai government begins assault to end protest is the headline of the Star.com here. Now, why does the Star.com care so much about this? Well, in our minds, they are sort of normalizing the idea of the government responding to dangerous protesters who are a threat to the destabilization of society. And there's even an article in the Globe and Mail from yesterday saying, time to dress like the plebs, a short little blog from their G20 G8 blog section, where a businessman who worked in the business district in downtown Toronto was sent an email by his employer saying they're advised to dress down at work because somebody might, you know, jump them and attack them. Some G20 protester might get violent towards one of the Bay Street, you know, regular folks. And this is the type of culture they're creating. So we got to get out there and we got to break it down. I'm at Vigilant Citizen, vigilantcitizen.com right now. Christina Aguilera is Not Myself Tonight, more Illuminati music. She's got a video out where she's half naked, writhing around, showing off all sorts of symbolism. Figure out what these people are up to. Figure out what their values are, and then figure out what our values have turned into and are turning into, and the degradation over the last 20, 30 years. Listen to Muse, new song, Uprising. They will not degrade us. They will not control us. Listen to that over and over again, and then go at them. Because we need to free our minds from the way we've been trained to understand the world, because so far it hasn't been as empowering as it could be. On that note, a couple of websites to check out, Infowars.com, tons of great stuff. CFR, again, Trilateral, Bilderberg, they are worried about what we're doing, and that's good, because we're worried about what they're doing, so that's only fair. So Infowars, Natural News for Health News, Natural News for Health News. Let's try to find this here. There it is. Natural News for Health News, naturalnews.com, Trends Research for Wealth News, TorontoTruthSeekers.com, locally to get involved, PressForTruth.ca as well to get involved, ConspiracyCulture.com to get some info, do some research on these issues, and Toronto Street News as well, a great paper out there. Tons and tons of other people doing great work in this city. Statism Watch is a great blog by my buddy Todd Howe to get a bunch of Canadian news. I'll have a longer laundry list of places to check, but this is just to let you know what's happening here. So you can take action on behalf of others because you care about them. You like them. One of the great things about this city is we have a bunch of great people here. So let's think of them and let's take action soon. Peace out, everybody.
bigger good, there'll be no dying when we get home to glory land.